I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. We're proclaiming the name of Yahweh on this podcast today in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith Yahweh, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. We'll be reading today from, at times, from Jeremiah. Let's go to Bereshit, or Genesis, chapter 1, about the creation, briefly. And we'll be dwelling for a little bit about creation today. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, Yahweh, the Creator. Yah created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And then let us go down, verse 14, Yahweh said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And verse 18, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And Yahweh saw that it was good. And then let's go to verse 27. So Yahweh created man in his own image. In the image of Yahweh he created him. Male and female he created them. And Yahweh blessed them, and Yahweh said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And Yahweh said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And Yahweh saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. So he created man somewhere in that 24-hour period, at least according to our reckoning of time, in that 24-hour period there on the sixth day. And it's been speculated by others that they don't believe that Yahweh could do that in 24 hours or less, that it was done over millions of years, that man might have evolved this way or that. However, one example I could give that would differ from that opinion of evolution would be, as we look in the hospitals at someone who is terminal, or is being operated, at least, let me say, on that table there, the surgeon is operating on them, and if they have one of their major organs operated on, or a major organ removed, and if they were not to supply any life support, that body would cease to exist. And in a very short time. So without all of our organs operating simultaneously, it would not be possible to live. At least not as we know it, would it? So I believe in a simultaneous creation of man, of Adam. And it was not longer than a 24-hour period, as the scripture shows there in Genesis 1:27. And that all the necessary members were created simultaneously in a short period of time of our way of reckoning time, not a maybe over a period of time, not a kidney here and a liver there. What if somebody were born with three livers? No, an eyeball here, or a nose, or vein, or artery here or there. What a mess! What a helter skelter! Evolving randomly by accident in longer than a 24-hour period. No, man would not have been created in that kind of a mess, and that sort of a random evolutionary method. And then we have the gift of reproduction, which demonstrates further that Yahweh designed us to replicate, to reproduce. And if we were to use the example of a computer or a car, now a computer could actually replicate itself, but we would have to program it to do that. We would have to be programmed, but a car cannot reproduce itself, or any other object on earth. Nothing can reproduce itself without its being programmed by someone greater than that, by the designer itself. So praise Yahweh for creation. Now, proclaiming his name to the heathen will be this next section here with your brother Stephan Yah. Reading from the scriptures, we're going to be going, to Matthew. Matthew chapter 2 we will start with. And this section, proclaiming his name to the heathen. Now, how are we going to proclaim his name to heathen, if we can't even share his name and character with those we love? Or once a year we whisper or mutter his name. The superstitious Kabbalistic priests of the Dark Ages initiated this practice in the Dark Ages. On the Day of Atonement, some would mutter his name, and then they would replace his name with Adonai or Lord or Hashem. Hashem means the name of. Now, if we were to replace that Hashem, and if we were to replace Yahweh's name with Hashem, then we take away all meaning of Yahweh's character and his name, as we could demonstrate by reading the scriptures now. And this speaks of praising the Messiah in Matthew chapter 2. Behold, there came a leper. Now, don't touch that mouse. There's much more here. Behold, there came a leper and adorned him, saying, Yahweh, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Thou can make me clean. Matthew chapter 2. And as they went to tell his emissaries, behold, Yahusha met them here in Matthew chapter 8 now. I'm sorry, we moved on. And we didn't hear any pages turning because I'm reading from my computer screen. Matthew 8:2. And as they went to tell his emissaries, behold, Yahusha met them, saying, all Hallel, and they came and held him by the feet and praised and esteemed and adored him. Matityahu 8, verse 2. And then in chapter 28, verse 9, when they saw him, they praised him. The Greek word is from Strong's 4352. They praised him, but some doubted. Then in Matthew 18, but when he saw Yahusha far off, he ran and gave him homage. And that's also 4352. They gave homage to him when they saw Yahusha afar off. Mark 5:6, bowing their knees, they gave homage to him. Mark 15:19. Yes, they bowed their knees and gave homage to him. Man will never eliminate Yahweh's name. And he said that my name will be great among the nations, and in every place an offering of smoke will be made. A presentation will be made to my name, even a pure gift, because my name will be great among the nations, Yahweh of armies has said. And I don't believe I have the reference for that one, so that must have been somewhere in the so-called Old Testament. Let's go to Malachi chapter 1. I do know that this is from Malachi. Malachi 1:11. From the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same. Or from the setting of the sun to the rising. Shall be great among the Gentiles, and every place incense shall be offered unto my name. A pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathens, saith Yahweh of hosts. Now, if we were to replace Yahweh, which is in the Hebrew text, with Hashem, then it's lost the meaning. It doesn't make that much sense because you could read it. Let me try to transpose that a little bit. In every place, incense should be offered unto the name of, and to Hashem, to the name of, a pure offering. For the name of shall be great among the heathen, saith the name of, yeah, of armies, the name of the person of the army, the leader of the armies. You're only giving a title. Those who are baptized, they say, some think that they should be baptized in the title of the Father and the title of the Son and the Spirit. But without the name, it seems to leave out a lot, doesn't it? It leaves out his real name if we just say Father, Son, and Spirit. But if we actually say the Father as Yahweh, the Son as Yahusha, and the Spirit Ruach HaKadosh, then we're identifying Yahweh's name and his signature right there. So in Shemot chapter 9 verse 16 now, in Exodus, as the pages are turning, we hear the sounds, except those who are using their tablets and telephones, their iPhones. To Moses, Yahweh said, "And in every deed for this cause I have raised thee up, to show in thee my power, and that my name..." That my name may be declared throughout all the earth. And then skipping up to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36:23. We must pray fervently to exalt the name of Yahweh. We are to publish his name. And then in the book of Psalms, I'm going to say there. So you could turn to the book of Psalms, and I won't jump around so much. In Tehillim 22:22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation I will praise thee. So that's Psalm 22:22. Declaring the name of unto the brethren. And they'd say, the name of what? Of whom? Whom are you speaking of? Psalm 106:47. Save us, O Yahweh, our Yah, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy separated name and to triumph in thy praise. Psalm 106:47. Save us, O Yahweh, and gather us among the heathen. Psalm 18:49. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Yahweh, among the heathen, and give and sing praises unto thy name. I'll give thanks unto thee, Yahweh, among the heathen, and sing praise to thy name. Psalm 96:10, say among the heathen that Yahweh reigns. So how can you say among the heathen if you're going to be quiet and speak behind the veil once a year at the Feast of Atonement, at Yom Kippur? No, you can't do it because the heathen wouldn't be there and they wouldn't hear it furthermore. Psalm 96, say among the heathen that Yahweh reigns. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Then up to 98, Psalm 98, Mizmor 98, verse 2. Yahweh has made known his salvation, his righteousness has he openly shown in the sight of the heathen. Then in 102, in chapter 102, or Psalm 102, verse 15. So the heathen shall fear the name of Yahweh. So here's the rest of the story, the end of the story. The heathen shall fear the name of Yahweh, and all the kings of the earth thy splendor. So that's 102:15. And then to wrap up this thought, these scriptures, of course, inspired by the Spirit, Revelation chapter 12 in the so-called New Testament. Revelation 12, verse 10. And then I can have my wife look up Isaiah chapter 12, 4 and 5 for me, please, Jean. And so Revelation 12, 10. Very good. Revelation 12. In that day, you will certainly say, give thanks to Yahweh, you people. Call upon his name. No, don't call upon Hashem, the name of. It just means the name of, call upon his name. What name is that? Of course we know. That is YHVH, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, or Yahweh, or others pronounce it different ways. They might even say Yahweh or Yahuwah. Call upon his name. Make known among the peoples his dealings. Make mention that his name is to be put on high. Make melody to Yahweh, for he has done surpassingly. This is made known in all the earth. And I think we're reading, that must have been Isaiah 4 and 5. Let me see, chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. In that day, it says here, in Yeshayahu, in Isaiah, in that day you will say, give thanks to Yahweh, proclaim his name, declare his works to the people. So that must be what I was reading there. My notes are catching up. Give thanks to Yahweh, proclaim his name, declare his works to the people. So they remembered, they remember his exalted name. Sing to Yahweh, for he has done splendidly. Let this be known in all the earth. Cry and shout, inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Kadosh One of Israel. And I was reading from the Tree of Life version from Rome, Georgia. And yeah, that was a good roam there, wasn't it? Roaming around in the Word from Isaiah chapter 12. And so I guess look up Revelation 12:10 then, because I didn't get that. Oh, it's and he is sending out his rain. As we are reading scriptures inspired by the Spirit, what is inspiration, by the way? How did these writers of scripture do this? How do they compose all this? And they all said the same thing and made no errors. If we read all the scriptures in harmony, and each doctrine in harmony with one another, well, they were inspired. The scripture says all scripture is given by inspiration. That's 2 Timothy. And thank you. Yeah. And we are inspired. Inspiration is sort of like a composer of beautiful music composing a song. 1 Kefa chapter 2, verse 6, emphasizing the word precious. Where do you stand before Yahweh? You stand very precious in his sight, as we shall see here in a moment, I think. 1 Peter 2, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. It is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed or rejected, the same is made the head of the corner. And that stone is Messiah, by the way. Isaiah 13. 13 verse 12 says, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man more precious than the golden wedge of Ophir. And a lot of you Hebrew scholars could look up the background of that one, of Ophir. I'll make a man more precious than fine gold. And that's good enough for some of us, that the word precious there, if we find out that a good name is better than precious ointment, and that Yahweh will make a person more precious than fine gold. Even as we read about Joseph, that is in Deuteronomy 33:13, Deborim 33, and I want to say good day to everyone, the very best to you. So it says, and with the bounty and the sun's produce and the month's yield, and with the best from the ancient mountains and the bounty of the everlasting hills. Let's see. Okay, verse 13. Joseph, he said, may his land be blessed by Yahweh with heavenly bounty from the dew and from the deep lying beneath, and with the bounty of the sun's produce and the month's yield. Instead of, it was phrased in the King James as, for the precious things put forth by the moon. So here it's, in other words, by the Moed. And here in the Tree of Life it says, for the month's yield. And with the best of from the ancient mountains and the bounty of the everlasting hills, with earth's bounty and its fullness and the favor of the one dwelling in the bush. May it come on Joseph's head, on the crown of the prince among his brothers. the firstborn ox. Majesty is his. His horns are the horns of the wild ox. With him he gores people all at once to the ends of the earth. They are the myriads of Ephraim. They are the thousands of Manasseh. Revelation 21:19. All the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire. When the Hebrews failed to keep Yahweh's law, they profaned his name. Thus sins such as sacrificing to idols, swearing to a lie, or even swearing to a lie from the pulpit, saying that we don't have to be immersed, oppressing the poor, and committing fornication are described in the scriptures as profaning Yahweh's name. To clarify that, Jeremiah 34:16, Ezekiel 43, Leviticus 18:21. So a believer in Yahweh who sincerely prays that Yahweh's name be exalted will magnify that name in her own life, his own life, by obeying all of Yahweh's commands. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. Psalm 91:14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, Yahweh says. I'll set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Going back to Psalm 74:10. How long, O Yahweh, shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Leviticus 24, the use of names, Yahweh speaking to the children of the Hebrews, the Hebrew children, and it says 24:16 in Vayikra 24:16. He that blasphemes the name of Yahweh, he shall surely be put to death. When he blasphemes the name of Yahweh, therefore we are, period, therefore we are wrong when we say, it doesn't matter what you call him, just as long as my heart is right. In the sixth chapter of Abram, chapter 6, verse 1, why shouldn't we go on? Once we are saved, why shouldn't we go on to perfection in Messiah? Well, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Messiah, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward Yah. And we need to, of course, harmonize that with the rest of the scriptures that we do continually need to be reminded of repentance in the Torah. Paul would certainly encourage us to continue to be introspective and analyze our own activities, our behavior, and our attitudes toward Yahweh. Have our hearts right and make sure that it manifests itself in our thoughts and actions. In our external things we do. It does matter what we do. And being perfect. The reason I'm doing this is somebody was trying to tell me that it doesn't make any difference. That once you're saved, and once saved, always saved, and you don't want to talk about it. You don't want to get into scripture because she called that arguing. Okay, we're not going to condemn them, but we are saying that you do need to sit down in that position and furthermore, to then have the scriptures to open them up. If these kind of religious people or spiritual people at all want to bring up a subject, then I believe that we better open up the Word. Let's get a little bit more serious. Come on, let's just really open the Word and study. And there was one church that far from the truth in some things. It was called the Open Bible Church, and there were some good things there. But, we need to be like that, to open the Word, like the Bereans did in Acts 17. Oh, wait a minute. I want to go to Hebrews 13, since you're already in Hebrews. Hebrews 13:21. May He, Yahweh, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Yahushua Messiah, to whom be esteem forever and ever. We are thinking of different words that could be substituted for that fake word glory, which the etymology of the word is more than just questionable from pagan sources. So we could look up in the concordance to substitute some of these things, and not substitute, but actually correct Or we could look in the Tree of Life. They did correct a few of these words in the New Testament, but they corrected a whole lot in the Old Testament. But may he make you perfect in every good work to do his will, through Messiah, to whom be esteem, or beauty, or splendor. Those are all the adjectives or adverbs or whatever it's called at the moment. Forever and ever. To whom be esteem forever and ever. Okay, then on to Acts 17. We were talking about those Bereans who used the open scriptures. You know, when they were discussing things, they would always read from the Old Testament because that's all they had to research at the time. They were in the process of composing the New Testament as the writers Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, James, and Jude, and so on. I've forgotten somebody there, but as they were being inspired by Spirit-breathed, as these words were being written. So they only had the Old Testament. That was the little rabbit trail. Bereans, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They didn't say, hey, look, I don't want to argue. They had readiness of mind, and they were willing to open it. They searched the scriptures, and the scriptures those days, of course, I said, Old Testament, whether those things were so. So I don't have a stigma about the Old Testament or one about, discussing things in a well-balanced thought without, extreme anger or emotions or anything like that. Some people, of course, might get a little bit their feathers ruffled up when something disagrees with what they believe, or maybe they're right about something, and then somebody else wants to, like the creation I was talking about, they want to disagree with that and come up with these corny ideas. Well, of course, you get a little upset, but, try not to turn red in the face, but be of readiness of mind and readiness of spirit as well. Have your mind and your spirit in tune with Yahweh, not to judge them for having some crazy belief, something that's way out there. And be perfect. Let's go to Matthew now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Be perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So, it could say become perfect. Because we don't instantly do that. We don't just go to the altar, raise our right hand with all heads bowed and no one looking around. And one-time repentance act, no, it's a continual. A lifestyle, a cultural change within us, as Yahweh does this change of culture within us. Chapter 6, verse 1 again of Abram. And let's see how that fits in there. Instead of therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Messiah, why not, therefore, having done what we already know and what we know we should do in the doctrine, let us go on unto perfection. Yeah, that's right. So, Romans, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And that could apply, again, to our lifestyle, to our culture. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. So the main thing we're emphasizing here, well, we're emphasizing the entire scripture, but don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed or renewing, prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Oh, the word perfect there, of course. That was my theme. I must be losing my mind. I know I'm losing my hair, but okay. And then I'd like to find that Georgie Vins book, that black one about the man who was in the Russian prison camps all of his life. And the reason for that, I'll tell after we read this 2 Timothy. So maybe I left that in the other study room there. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. About that all scripture is given by inspiration of Yah and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. So it's profitable for teaching and reproof. And then the next explains that for correction. And we all need to have a little bit of correction, a little trimming right there. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of Yahweh may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Yes, the word is precious then. And the name of Yahweh is precious, as we demonstrated from 1 Peter 2, about the chief cornerstone is Messiah. And that's also found in the book of Isaiah and throughout the scriptures about that the, you know, we've had some people who had problems with there being a Messiah, and that the one who appeared on this earth 2,000 years ago, roughly, who died and rose from the grave, that they had a great problem with that. But he is found throughout Scripture, not just in the New Testament. I think that's the way I want to round that up. Now, as we get to these different doctrines and discussions and people arguing and discussing things, I said, yes. Some people get pretty upset about some of these things, but how precious is the word of Yahweh, as we read? His word is so precious. Some didn't really have that privilege and gift of having the word in their hand. It was taken away. And one of those people was Georgie Vins. He wrote the book, The Gospel in Bonds. He was in Soviet gulags, in prison for his faith for 8 years. That's a true story of Georgie Vins, available also on the internet, I think, from thebriancall.org. But here it says, order online at www.lighthousetrails.com. And I wanted to read an excerpt in there, because we should, you know, people get so emotional, and they do argue or get, they say, oh, don't talk about that. I don't want to discuss that, about the Sabbath day or the calendar, you know. Well, of course, the calendar, you got the late and you got the earlier calendar, the later one, and all sorts of different ways of reckoning time. So maybe that one is a little too difficult for most of us to get into on that discussion, but the name of Yahweh, all we have to do is just go to the Hebrew and look and see what it, well, Yod Heh Vav Heh. So how difficult is that? It's a, it's not a no-brainer, but it, you know, four letters in Hebrew, who could go wrong with that? Yod Heh Vav Heh. And I wouldn't want to, you know, stomp somebody on the neck and get into a good fist fight just because they didn't agree with me. No, I try to remain calm in spirit, even if they, you know, they try to blaspheme right in front of my face. Who am I to punch them in the nose? You know, I'm sure that's been done. Well, reading from the Gospel in Bonds, though, realize how precious it really is to have the Scriptures, because some people are greatly offended if you even quoted, if you quote anything, if you say the word Yahweh in front of them, or the equivalent that people use today is God. If you say any of these words, they hate it. Certain people do that, not everybody. There's a lot of heathen that I know who would consider themselves unbelievers or humanists or atheists who would not take offense. They would just politely say, well, I'm really not interested, but go ahead. But here's Georgie. He's in the gulag here, and he ran into a confrontation. So this might help us appreciate a little bit more about having the word of Yahweh. So he had this little, the book of Mark that I think his wife gave him. She snuck it to him or something like that. And then he's got these soldiers and this guard, this captain, who's giving him a hard time. The young soldiers kicked an old man while they are on a transport on the train. And Georgie asked himself, how can I keep silent or look the other way? What about my gospel? Maybe I better have a better chance to preserve it if I just said nothing. I don't want to lose the one that he had snuck on board the train and hid it. What about my gospel tract? Somebody will take it. But what would Messiah do in my place? Would he be silent? Suddenly I spoke up to the guard. I said, hey, what are you doing? Why are you beating him? He's old enough to be your grandfather. How can you treat someone like that? And Georgie's reaction was so unexpected, even the guards were startled. Who was brazen enough to confront them, these Russian guards? They stopped kicking the old man and turned to me. One of them yelled, don't you know the rules? Nobody's bothering you. But now the old man had his boots off The old man that they had kicked, he had his boots off and was standing, and the soldiers lost interest in him. They commanded, "Get dressed!" One of them turned back to me, to Georgie. "Step up, Mr. Defender. Now it's your turn. We could put bracelets on you, you know." Or in other words, handcuffs on you. The old man was taken back to his cage. So, Georgie had to strip quickly. One guard checked the clothing while the other went through everything in his bag. Then he found a little box. He opened it. Inside was that tiny Evangel of Mark. He asked with a sneer, "What's this?" I answered, "It's the Gospel of Mark." He started looking through it and then showed it to the other guard. "That is forbidden." "That is verboten," they'd say in Germany. He announced, "That is forbidden," and tossed it into a pile of trash. I immediately took the gospel out of the garbage. And then the soldier shouted, his face flushed with rage, "Throw it back." "No," I clutched. I clutched it tightly in my palm. The soldier forced my hand open and grabbed it, holding it high over his head. He started to tear it apart, sneering and mocking. My mind raced. Could I let him do it? Do that to Yahweh's word? "No!" I snatched the gospel from his hands. "This is Yahweh's word," I said. "I won't let you tear it apart." The soldiers were furious. Such open defiance was unheard of. The soldiers had the right to handcuff, put him into a straitjacket, or even execute any prisoner who defied their authority. They could have shot me on the spot. The prisoners, still waiting to be searched, silently held their breath in fear and anticipation of the horror they were sure to witness. The other prisoners on the train thought this. And by the way, I'm almost through here, I think. And then one of the guards startled, or rather snarled, "I'm going to make you tear up that book with your own hands. Then I'll make you eat it." I gripped the little gospel even tighter. "This book is my life," I said, looking him straight in the eyes. "This book is my life. I'd rather be executed than tear it up." The convoy officer heard the commotion and ran into the search room to find out what these soldiers were up, you know, what kind of monkey business was going on. He said, "What's going on?" The soldiers moved away from me and started to explain that I was being insubordinate and had almost started a riot against them. How could I let the officer understand what was really happening? So quickly, I opened my hand. I said, "This is my gospel," showing it to the officer. "It's my life, my faith. These soldiers wanted me to tear it up because I believe in this book. I was sentenced to 10 years in prison. I would never tear up this book." He said quietly, "Give it to me." I handed the tiny book to the officer and he left the car. The soldiers continued searching me. One of them jeered, "Now you're in for it. He'll teach you how to fight for your rights." My search was over and they went on to the others, but I had to stand and wait for the officer. Everybody was certain I would be severely punished because of that gospel book of Mark. About 10 minutes later, the officer returned. "This is your gospel. You can keep it." I thanked him. The soldiers looked confused. As I was taken back to my cage, the prisoner's hands started reaching out. "Show us the gospel." One of them asked me to read it out loud. And then he had other experiences quite similar to this, only better. So I answered, "Let me take a little break first." I closed my eyes and leaned back. "Oh, Yahweh." And he writes Lord here, of course, but I need to transpose that. "Oh, Yahweh, how I thank you for your amazing intervention." I prayed, "Thank you so much for helping me with this." And I began reading the gospel, first quietly, and then louder and louder, so that the prisoners in the next car could hear about Yahweh's lover. It says in the next cell, so maybe in the same car, but a different cell of partition. The soldier who had kicked the old man and threatened to tear up my gospel stood nearby, listening silently. I recalled Stepan's words, "Truth is defenseless, but it is also invincible." It's invincible. Not only had Yahweh preserved the little gospel of Mark, but he gave him an opportunity to openly proclaim its truth. And then he quotes Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 157 and 61. 161. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not decline from thy testimonies. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not decline from thy testimonies. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy word. Yeah, so remember that too when you read the book of Psalms, and how blessed we are to have the word, but we do take it for granted because it's so easy for us to go into a store or something and just buy another book, and you walk into a building and there'll be maybe a scripture book lying there. In America anyway, you still can, I think. And it just taken for granted that we have this word, this scripture here. And then I pointed out we get into these arguments, not just discussions, but someone might trap you into an argument. That's the reason I'm doing the program, that through my own experience, I might be able to help others to extrapolate and to not to necessarily defend yourself, but to have the proper attitude about these encounters that we will have, even from our friends. This person I was speaking at went to one of the churches that I used to attend back in the 1980s, 70s, 80s, and 90s at times, and for the most part. And now I wanted to read the three of the laws that are listed here on page 112 of the Gospel in Bonds, three of the laws that they made about religious things and about the scriptures. And accusations, it says, accusations by the Soviet government against Georgi Vins. First of all, here's what Georgi's crime was. He was actually a pastor. Violation of the law on religious cults, which involves a ban on all missionary activity, or inviting young people into the church, or Christian education of children. It is regarded as a criminal article in the USSR. And I can see that happening today, that the UN rights of the child, so-called UN rights, Hillary's agenda, and in the school systems, that it is considered a great offense, and you could supposedly get fired. I guess if you actually look up the law, it doesn't say that they can fire you for quoting the scripture, talking about the scriptures. Now, secondly, a falsification of Soviet reality. So Georgi was being accused of, through news and information about the persecution and imprisonment of believers. And they called that was a charge of falsification of Soviet reality. You can see some parallels to that in wherever you might be living. And then finally and third, the violation of rights of citizens, of other citizens, by your ministering to them. For example, it says any sermon calling for conversion, or more precisely, any missionary activity. This is the strongest article, which also refers to damaging people's health or their spiritual health by reading the scriptures. That's right. They think we're damaging their health by talking about the Torah and of keeping the Sabbath day, which is Yahweh's precious word. It's so precious. So it says, and I quote, under the pretext of religion, violence is practiced on a person's body and the moral life is destroyed. Huh? That's contrary to what we're actually doing. We would commit violence if we opposed Yahweh's word and lived an opposite lifestyle. But they think that it's the violence on a person's body and the moral life is destroyed if we keep Yahweh's word, if we obey His Ten Commandments. Oh, there's so many. We live in an area in the Northwest here in America. The Christian radio station, half the time they're talking about, they're trying to find out, trying to portray the Ten Commandments as an evil thing, and they want to demonize people who publicize, who preach that the Ten Commandments are still good for us. and that his law is perfect, converting the soul. That the testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring the heart. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart, and the judgments are true and righteous altogether. The feast days are true and righteous altogether. More desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. And moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Keep back thou thy servant from presumptuous sins, that I would not fall into temptation, and let me not be guilty of the great transgression. I think that we're in a period of great transgression here. But the Soviet said violation of these articles entails 10 years of punishment, 5 years in a labor camp, and 5 years exile. And actually, there was one where he was 10 years in prison. A total of 8, didn't it say? But anyway, I'm not doing the math right there, maybe. But it did say here 5 and 5 in this particular case there, was the time that law was written. And then the story was finally that they exiled Georgie and said he was no longer a citizen. He no longer had any rights as a citizen in the Soviet Union, and so they sent him to the United States to be exiled there. And then he had a wonderful life sharing with others, and warning others as well the doom to come, and to be prepared for that, and to travail for those who are the pastors and believers in these foreign countries who are being persecuted for their belief. Praise Yahweh for that, for the ministry of some of these rescue for pastors and for those who are being persecuted. Even the at the current time, the President of the United States speaking up for those who are being persecuted and trying to do a few things, I guess, to try to intercede in that situation, intercede for the Jews in Israel. But that will be short-lived, I imagine, by the time that the next election in the United States is held, and then the very liberal leaders, more liberal, will become in charge there, and more freedoms will be lost. So let's enjoy the freedom that we have right now to worship and praise Yahweh, and to lift up the word of Yahweh in truth, in spirit, in truth, if at all possible, at all times, before Yahweh and before our friends and neighbors. And we're coming up to an hour now on the on this program here about the pure word of Yahweh, about how precious his word is, how precious his name is. And if we had the instruments, we could sing a lot of wonderful songs to and praise him. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Praise the name of Yahusha. Praise the name of Yahusha Messiah. Praise the name of Messiah. And we want to pass it on. Now let us magnify Yahweh. That's a song there that we sang back in the 80s. Another one, the joy of Yahweh is my strength. Let's see, my little hymnal here. Oh, let's magnify Yahweh, for he is worthy to be praised. They cried, Hosanna, Messiah is the rock, Messiah is the rock of my salvation. Let's forget about ourselves, for he is worthy to be praised. Oh, let us lift up pure hands, for he is worthy to be praised. A lot of songs in this little hymn. His name is higher than any other. His name is, and then it says, his name is Lord. No, that's a title, and it's not even. But his name is Messiah. His name is Yahusha. His name is the Master. That's a title again, but his name is Yahweh. His name is Wonderful. His name is Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty Yah. His name is a fountain of living water. His name is the bread of life to satisfy. His name is healing for every nation. His name is Yahusha. His name is And when they get his name is Yehosha. I have to keep transposing here as I go along. So there are many songs about his name, and they are sometimes they got it right on, other times they were close. In the text, of course, it says Yeshua. It's the same as Joshua or Yasha in the Old and the New Testament. I just think I should say that. And you could read all about the name of Yahweh on our website, as much as we know, and certainly the name of Yahweh, and all the 23 different references to authenticate the name of Yahweh, and as much as we know about the Messiah. That's what I was trying to say, as much as we know about his name, that it comes from Hosea, comes from Joshua or Yasha, and all these articles and MP3 programs are found there on the website, YahweHyahweh.name. So this wasn't an all-encompassing thing here. I didn't even get into the subject this time, but having passed the hour mark, I think I'll do that another time to talk about the lifestyle, the culture. And there's some really heavy things that I'd like to share with you. I delight in going before you and being able to expose some of the stuff that's coming into the churches lately. You know, how can you improve it anyway, they might ask. But I think, you know, that it's good to try to clean up our own corner in our realm of influence by prayer, by speaking with other people, and trying to, you know, by education as well. Any way we can do it. I'm not entirely against even the political method as well, but that's not the answer, of course. But praise his name forever. The mighty praises of Yahweh may be on our lips and in our mind, and that will proclaim his name to the heathen. Hallel Yahweh. Maranatha. Thank you very much for joining us today, and I will make that other program I talked about of getting into, actually it'll be mentioning the rock and roll artists, particularly Little Richard, who went in and out of their spiritual life, the development, kind of like putting on a nice tallit or coat, and then taking it off, and losing, you know, putting on their faith and then taking it off, I guess would be the way to say that. And they went in and out, in and out, in and out, and then finally they died really early and had a lot of different bad situations there. Bad situations. Oh, but there is one thing, though, that I could add here at the very end that's very, very simple in living our life out. And with so much tension on these days, and of course, a controversy, as I mentioned, but one thing that could really help, I think, in addition to what I've already mentioned and the encouraging scriptures, would be a simple tip or two to give you. And some of you can't do it. Okay, it involves A, exercise. You know, not only the spiritual exercise of your elbow opening the pages of scripture, but I actually start out a day by doing about 10 or 20 push-ups and laying upside down on the, yes, I do, on the rug, and I do an upside down scissors in every direction I can, laying on my side and my back and so on, and do these little exercises and crunch-ups or sit-ups and so on. And people have different ways of getting exercise. If you're in a wheelchair, there's still things you might be able to do. To pick up a heavy can with the arms and then swing that around. I don't know your physician, your therapeutic physical therapy person could tell you perhaps more about that, but I think there's always more to learn. They don't know it all, and we can keep learning more and more about that. But the second thing, the most important about all this pressure and stress going on, in addition to prayer, is to complement that with fasting. And it seems like about the most difficult thing to do, except once a year, I know I can do it on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur, on the Yahweh's Day that symbolizes the chaining of and putting away Satan for 1,000 years. And there's other symbolisms there too. But anyway, fasting is really effective. Whether you're going just on a liquid fast, which means that you don't eat any food, but you drink liquid. So try that, if at all possible, and pray about it first, of the power to resist eating anything at all, starting at like at sunset would be a nice time to do it. Refrain from the last meal of the day, or you could have that last meal, then head for bed. I would recommend this to fast, if possible, depending upon your health situation. It might really correct a lot of poor health if you were to do it. And this is not medical advice from a professional, by the way. I'm just saying what I do. And I believe that that it would be very, very healthy and helpful to try to pull off a fast once or twice. And some of you I know are doing this regularly, and it's, you know, no big challenge for you. But for the others of us, if we can do that even for, you know, once a year, it's good. But if we could do that like once a month, it would be just so super and help our physical, mental, social, every kind of health you could think of, I believe. Even financially, it might help us there too, because we can think more clearly to, you know, plan the budget and do the books and so on. We'd have a clear mind. And I complement everything I do with prayer. And I go out hiking for about an hour or sometimes longer per day. And a beautiful privilege that we have to still have the freedom of movement to get out and enjoy Yah's creation. Praise Yah to that. Well, I hope this helped you. It's all I can offer anyway, so that's why we're here and paying for this website. And email is StephanYah@YahTheYahweh.name. And have a good day. Let's hear a good sound or a trumpet or something at the end here. Praise Yah. And may He bless you richly. Until next time, Shalom.